fungal endophytes again, but in this case, the effects of fungal endophytes on both above and below ground herbivores in cotton.
Thanks everyone for being here. So I'm recently graduated from SWIR Lab, having my PhD. So this is a part of my dissertation project. And I'm going to tell you some data in terms of the colonization efficiency on the endophyte inoculation. So I know this is the insect session, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the root knot nematode since it's my major project for my dissertation. To get started, we're going to see the definition. So I'm quoting this as endophytes are microorganisms that live within plant tissue without causing symptoms or diseases. So don't think about like latent pathogen or anything like that. So we're looking at the beneficial endophytes. Some known ecological effects of these endophytes, they can mediate plant resistance against herbivores and the pathogens. There are some classical examples. And they can also regulate plant tolerance in terms of increase their plant tolerance against drought, heat, and cold, and etc. In the meantime, sometimes you can find some particular endophyte can actually enhance plant performance, especially plant growth, and sometimes they ended up with yield. So this is how we got started in our lab. We go around in the year 2011 and collected a bunch of cotton tissues all across Texas. And here's the map, and all the locations will be covered on this way. And the green triangle shows the organic farms, and the black triangle shows you all the conventional farms. From those farms, we collected cotton bolls and the leaves and the stems, and we took them back to do surface fertilization and test them to isolate all the endophytes. So we're able to narrow it down to 69 fungal taxa. And here's a part of the list. And if you want to see the full list, so go for this paper to have everything in detail. So in this particular study, I'm going to talk about, and I'm using this particular endophyte, which is Ketomi globosum. And my study based on testing this endophyte against three herbivores, below ground herbivores, which is root knot nematodes, and above ground cotton aphids, which is sucking insects, and leaf chewing insects, beet armyworms. So first, I'm going to get started with the root knot nematodes. This is a heavily infested tomato roots with root knot nematodes. And this is my tested cotton roots about the first chewy stage. And the circle around here is all the nematode galls that you can see. And down here in the corner, this is a stained nematode right here, the pink one in the root tissue. So really briefly about life cycle of the root knot nematode in case you don't really know much about it. So it started from the eggs, here's the nematode eggs. And the second juvenile stage is actually the infective stage of the nematodes. And they're going to hatch from the eggs and migrate into towards the root tips. And once they're going to penetrate into the roots, then they're going to migrate until they found the elongation area of the roots. They start feeding on those and wait until the mature start, the female starts producing eggs. And the eggs going to be produced on the surface over here. This is agmesis. And underneath the shell, there will be like a bunch of piles of eggs in here. So this basically completes the entire life cycle. We're basically going to focus on the infection stage and also the final stage of the egg producing stage. So here's the method. We use the seed treatment to inoculate our endophytes. So first of all, you have to clean out the seeds by surface sterilize it, 2% of sodium alcohol chloride for 2 minutes, and then 70% ethanol for 2 minutes, and then do water rinse them for at least 4 times. And then this is a part of my experiment to use one control and a 2 dosage of the endophytes using sport suspension. You soak the seeds overnight after the surface sterilization, and then you plant them into previously sterilized sand. So before you inoculate the nematodes, you test for the colonization efficiency using surface sterilization. And here's one set of my data that shows you the successful inoculation. For control, there's nothing. And for low concentration, 60% of the plants that were confirmed to have the target endophyte colonized, both above and below ground. And also for the high concentration, we're pretty successful most of the time. And this here is just only one example. So the manuscript I have all the details about each trial that completed and how much about the colonization efficiency. So, and also all the plant sizes and width were measured, but the data were not provided here. And so This is a part of the surface stylization. You plate roots, stems, and leaves separately in different place. So once the plant get ready about first release stage, we prepare the nematode inoculation. For each individual plant, they're gonna receive 2,000 eggs in each pot, and we wait for 12 days after an egg inoculation to harvest the plants to check on the juvenile penetration efficiency. Remember the pink nematodes in the gauze roots. And then we wait for 6 weeks after the egg inoculation to check on the number of gauze and the number of eggs the females produced. So here's the data. The top two figures on here is actually shows you the 12 days after about the number of gauze produced per gram of root tissue and the number of juveniles that infected in the roots per gram of root tissue. And you can see here for both end of our treatment, they have significant reduction of number of gauze induced and the number of nematodes infected in the roots. While we wait on the 6 weeks after the inoculation, here shows you they have a significant lower number of gauze per gram of root tissue. And at the same time, the females produce significant lower number of eggs per gram of tissue in the endophyte treatment comparing with their controls. So this is actually great that I start where I got started. And then I kind of wonder what will be happening if the endophyte interact with the insects. So now we're going to see one sample of the cotton aphids and the beet armyworms. Started with the cotton aphids. So the same seed treatments, you need the same endophyte, exactly the same thing, and make sure you check on the colonization efficiency before you put the insects onto the plants. So for the aphids, I was using the clip cage experiment, and you place one aphid nymph per clip cage underneath the leaf, which is like two pieces together. And then for each treatment, I got 20 reps per treatment, and you sample them, basically just open the clip cage and count the number of aphids at day 7 and cage them back, and then come back later on at the day 14 to check on the numbers again. So what I'm seeing is at day 7, for both endophyte treatment, we have significant lower number of aphids per clip cage per plant compared with our controls. Well, at day 14, the data remain consistent, which low and high both endophyte treatment have lower, significant lower number of aphids than their controls. So definitely endophyte is doing something. And here is our dear endophyte, the Ketomium. And this is basically called a paracesium where all the spores came from, this spore-sprouting body. And then they open it up, the shell, and all the release the spores. So for the beet armyworms, exactly the same thing. I've conducted several trials for this particular experiment. I'm only going to present control and the low concentration, so it's going to be easier to tell the story. Again, I'm not going to provide any information, but we got successful inoculation efficiency for this particular endophyte all the time. For the beet armyworms, in this particular trial, that I did 5 first instar larvae and then caged them per plant like this in a greenhouse. And for each treatment, we got 16 reps. And to sample them, you measure the head capsule width at fourth and fifth, around the fourth to fifth star instar stage, because the armyworms are kind of like really wearable in terms of the phenotypes and everything. You can just keep track of them every week and just uncage it, and then you kind of quantify it and put them back. And then also weigh the larval and both pupal weight. And whenever they pupate it, we collect the pupal weight and sex them and separate them into a little individual container. And for all the females, we also quantify the fecundity. So here's the data. There's no effects on the insect's body weight, so I'm not really presenting the data here. But for the head capsule width, which is most people know that in order to differentiate the developmental stage for the larval, usually you do measure the head capsule. It's really like important indicator. But in this case in here, for individuals about the same stage, the controls having a relatively bigger head than the ones being feeding on the endophyte plants. Well, at the same time, for the fecundity, for all the females being feeding on the endophyte treated plants, they produce significantly lower number of eggs. And here's a regression curve that you can see, as most people know, that most the female pupal weight will be the strong predictor in terms of the fecundity later on. And here shows you the for the control treatment, we have a positive correlation between the fecundity and the female pupal weight. And the shade is basically tell you the 95 confidence interval. And here below in here is actually our endophyte treatment, which is there's no correlation at all. So we just found this, but we can't, right now, we can't answer why was that, but we were able to show the consistent efficiency in terms of this. So to summarize, we're able to successfully inoculate the endophytes into the plant, and this, we were able to confirm it's a systemic colonization. And we were able to say that the endophyte catecholamine of globoxamine cotton actually affect the pure second insect, a leaf chewing insect, to be the armyworm, and the plant parasitic nematodes, which is the root knot nematodes. And here leads to the question whether the negative effects against cotton aphids and beet armyworms and root knot nematodes are mediated by the fungal metabolites, plant induced defense, or both, remains to be determined. So far, we've already got some preliminary data on the nematode side, in which the endophytes definitely mediating the plant hormone regulation. So we've already got some preliminary data. I'm currently working on that project. So hopefully we can get something out of it in the near future. So, you know, with that, I want to thank everyone from SWORT Lab and the previous graduates and the lab manager on our previous two postdocs and my unofficial two co-advisors from the nematology side, and all the project collaborators who has been contributing to my work, and also my funding resources, Account Incorporated, to support me for the past 3 years for this project. And now I'd like to take some questions. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have some questions. What's the direct effect of this fungus on the pests?
Direct effects? You mean just treating the aphids with almonds?
Kind of,
yeah. No, I haven't done that yet. Just like the herbivores interact with the fungus itself without the presence of the plant?
Yeah, plant. Without plant. Just direct
treatment. I haven't done for a particular this endophyte, but I've done that experiment for another endophyte, which is exactly what you say. So you put the nematodes in a petri dish with the presence of the particular endophyte, but it's no longer endophyte, just like fungus. Mm-hmm. And it's a parasite of the nematodes.
So
well, it's basically going to kill the nematodes. So it's because the nematode has to be in the plant. It's like all we get thing. You can't just, you know, the root knot nematode has to be with the plant all the time. So if you put it in a petri dish, it's going to die or whatever because they don't have the nutrients. But we're able to see their trapping structure produced by the fungus, but not this one. Yes, sir.
I'm curious about your low and high treatments. You had about a 60% success rate in getting on the low treatment, yet you had no significant difference between low and high.
Well, this is only one example. So not for this endophyte, I've done two repeat experiments, and each time I've done more than twice colonization efficiency to check up. So there's like a bunch of data that I haven't shown you here, just really like summarize the data for one plating. But for another endophyte, I've done like a five replicated experiment, and each time you plate them at least twice. So there's just like a pile of data for colonization. So it's just one example. Yes, sir.
So you have not seen the aphids infected by the endophyte by feeding on them?
I can't really tell you for sure, but I did plate some of the aphids while I'm working on that. But this endophyte is really like aggressive. Once you put them into the culture media, it's just to take over the entire place. So I did a surface sterilization with my plant. Sometimes we have like aphids or two. You just plate them all, but I'm not sure whether the efficiency of my surface sterilization, particularly for plants, will work for the insects. But I did find something, but I can't confirm if actually, you know, that the insects acquired from the plant or not.
Second question is, the plant is more vigorous growing than the control?
For this particular endophyte, yes, but
stimulate plant growth.
I saw some effects in the greenhouse, and we did see something in the field because I field tested two endophytes for nematodes, but we were able to measure increase of plant performance in the early season, but later on we lost the trend. So, yeah.
I'm wondering how did you
You got me. My community member thing asked me why you chose this one, since I was supposed to do the screening for all those endophytes, but I just chose this one because it looks really pretty, because I was one of those, you know, did all the screening at the beginning. I was the one taking care of all the plates. I got to know everyone. I was just like, I love this one. I'm going to start with this one. But it was like a winner. It took me like 2 years to get it worked. So I just continuous work on it 2 years until finally it worked. So it's still going to spend some time on it.
Okay. Thank you.